know that this is just a filthy figment of my diseased imagination.
Live from New York.
I was hoping to interest you in improving your mind.
Science, history, paranormal activity, mysteries of the ages.
A lot of scary things can happen.
Sit back and get ready to be
scared. We're perfectly ordinary Americans.
Good evening, everybody. It is June 30th, 2009, and you're listening to Scared on the Airwaves with your hosts, the Scared Crew. Part paranormal investigators, part urban explorers, and tonight, pallbearers of entertainment. Hi, my name is Brian J. Cano, and in the crew tonight is Chris Mancuso.
Word!
Jason Porcino.
Hello!
Brooke Haramaya.
Hey!
And holding it down in the engineering booth, Paul DeGennaro.
Hey, what's up?
You've tuned in to hear all things paranormal and all things scared. So, what's new with the crew?
Not too much with me, I'll be honest. Just work, 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 work. That's all I seem to do.
I ask this question every week, and every week I seem to get the same answer. I'm gonna stop asking. But like I said, I keep asking this question every week, and it kind of just dawned on me today. We started this show in February 3rd, I think.
February 3rd.
And here we are. We're about to step over into July, and every week we're still doing it. We're still getting together. We're still live. And every week I have to come up with a new description for what it is.
Hey, you're holding it down. You're doing good.
Like, whew, who knew? And just to give props, so we got to give a lot of credit to Brian and Joel, who would not let me say no.
Props to them.
They dogged me. They hounded me. And they said, you guys have to get a show. People are asking. I'm like, what people?
You got to dog them. You got to hound them. You got to do whatever you got to do to get scared on the airwaves.
So, and here we are, and they're regretting it.
But I'm thankful for it. I do enjoy this every week.
It's definitely a good way for us to get together and talk about things and extend the show. And it's just, hey, I just love hanging out and talking about everything we talk about. And this is the part of the show where what we talk about is usually current events. And I gotta say, like, this past week, is it something in the water? Is it something in the air? People are dropping like flies. What's going on?
Everybody's dying.
I mean, obviously people die all the time, and you don't have to be famous to die and know about it. But last week, Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, Michael Jackson, and just over the weekend, Billy Mays. And people are like, oh, this is horrible. This is sad. It's, you know, it's crazy. And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, this is perfect. What are we? We're paranormal investigators. You get a guy like Billy Mays on the other side? Holy Christ. I want to get an EVP from that guy.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, this is Billy Mays coming to you from the other side. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, everyone dies in threes. Leave it to Billy Mays to throw one in for free.
Nice. That was a good one.
I mean, yeah, this is a guy I want to get an EVP from. And if anyone is going to get it, it's going to be me, and it's not going to be a Class B, it's not going to be a Class A, it's going to be a Class AAA, it's going to be so loud.
He died really weird. Like, they were on a plane, landed in Florida, and the tire blew on the plane, and the luggage fell out of the overhead, hit him in the head.
Really?
Yeah, and he was fine, and 3 days later, he had a heart attack. Now, like, I mean, they don't think it's related because his doctor said he had a history of heart problems. I mean, who would have knew yelling all the time? And the funny thing is, they said they found him 20 years ago selling some vacuum cleaner, doing that on the boardwalk in Atlantic City. But the thing is, I don't remember him being around for 20 years. I remember him being like a, what, last 4 or 5 year phenomenon. I don't remember Billy Mays when I was younger at all.
OxyClean, baby.
Yeah, but I don't remember. OxyClean was only, what, yeah, like maybe 5, 6 years? I don't remember that like 20 years ago.
I heard it had something to do with his enlarged heart. So maybe it was just, you know, he made it this long, and it's probably a miracle that he made it this long. And actually, he and Michael Jackson were the same age. They were born in the same year, 1958.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson was born 6 trillion light years ago, the same time. So he came back, and he came in time in his two. Man, you know what? Let me just say this real fast about Michael Jackson. Look, I'm not. It's not going to be the typical thing. It's just that, like, there's two things. Everybody, it really is sad. I mean, whatever you think of him or not, I personally don't care. But it's like, the thing is that everyone's saying, like, oh, he was such an influence on me and all this stuff. It's like, you're a 14-year-old emo kid. You don't even know who he is. You never listen to him. And everyone's just using an excuse to get on TV so they could put flowers in front of, like, where the news crew is, all right? I can understand if there were people our age or older and they're like, yo, Michael Jackson was a... Of course he was a big influence on pop culture and all that stuff. But this is what my real point is. Everyone called him a freak. Michael Jackson was the biggest rock star out there.
I dig Michael Jackson.
Because this guy turned himself into a white woman. You know what? Everyone's like, oh, I got a Ferrari and some hookers and some drugs. It's like, yeah, that's you know what? Everybody does that. This guy got a monkey and an elephant skull, and you bought a Ferrari. And what did Michael Jackson do? He bought a friggin' Ferris wheel. You know what I mean? Like, that's a rock star. This guy did his own thing. So if for whatever the insanity was, that guy was a rock star. But we made him pop. Society made him and utterly killed him.
He married Elvis's daughter. He did a lot. I dig him. I dig his music more the early days than recent stuff. And, you know, he hasn't been relevant lately except for the scandal. And that's kind of a shame. I kind of wish he had the chance to publicly redeem himself. But, you know...
He had a bunch of shows sold out. He had, like, literally, like, 50 shows in England sold out. He had, like, 20 lined up for MSG, and they were all sold out in England. Think about the tours, mate.
Never listened to his music, and I'm a little upset that he had dancing zombies in the friggin' Thriller video. Zombies don't dance. They shamble.
You don't know that.
They shamble.
for all your fandom of zombies, have you ever seen a zombie? They haven't come yet, so you're waiting for them.
I'm waiting for
them. They're coming.
I don't think they're going to show up dancing, though.
Let me tell you something.
Hey, yeah, but if they do, who's going to be prepared? Me, because I saw Thriller. And
then I'll apologize.
I'll say this. If there's anybody who knows anything about zombies, and if they give out their opinion, quote-unquote, I'm listening to Stowe. So you know what I mean? Like, if Stowe says they can only run 50 miles an hour for 4.3 miles, then I'm pretty much going to bet on that he researched that somewhere.
Yeah, but Chris only says that because he can't run faster than that, so he's just that's his wishful thinking.
That's why he wishes the old Romero zombies were coming out there 28 days later zombies.
Because he'll have a chance against those guys.
Like, I actually read The Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks. Very informative, and I do have a plan.
I read the How to Survive like a Robot. The robot survival guide in case they attack, and one of them says, if you're in a bar and a guy in a motorcycle and glasses shows up and says, I'll be back, run. But an Austrian accent, that's what it was.
If he'll be back, you don't.
Yeah.
He won't.
So, Brian, what is going to be the topic for today's show?
The topic. Well, it seems like we always run out of time every week about, you know, whatever we want to talk about. It seems like we just get going, and all of a sudden it's, you know... 10:59. I'm like, oh, hey, that hour just flew. We're out of time.
Because we spent 59 minutes BSing.
Well, it's our show. I'll BS for 59 minutes. I'll BS for 59 minutes, 59 seconds till the next show comes on and we get cut off.
If I want to talk about zombies' happy feet, I'm gonna talk about a zombie's happy feet.
and actually, this is our radio show. You know, we get to do what we want.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where we try not to be those radio guys like. Hi, you're listening to Scared on the Airwaves, you know, with Chris, Brian, and Jason. Like, you know, we don't do that. And hell, we, in this entire time we've been doing it, we've barely had a guest.
And we've barely had any listeners.
We've got 5 listeners, and hey.
We barely had Greg here.
We barely have people on either side of the mic. And I don't know. You think we're doing all right?
I'd like to think we're doing all right, but I guess that's up to the people who actually listen.
I don't know. I can't listen to myself because I just, whenever I listen to myself on a recording, I feel like I sound like Kermit the Frog.
Well, you kind of do.
Hi-ho, you're listening to Scared on the Airwaves.
Oh my God. That was amazing.
Well, why, thank you, Jay.
Blah.
And then I start breaking out into song, and it's like...
I hate listening to myself, too, so...
Die. Die. Die.
Why are there so many shows about the paranormal? And who's on the other side?
Nice one.
Oh,
good
God.
One.
Oh, and my God.
Yeah, that's it. I can't get any better than that. I should stop now.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
All right, so next week, you do the frog voice. I'll do a vampire Dracula voice. And then Stowe could do Rocky's trainer. Or he could do Club of Lang the whole time.
That's a great topic, Kermit. Shoot up, Drac. Make me wait.
So speaking of Club Lang and Rocky and all that. Last week, we actually, our topic was debates. We were debating paranormal issues and things that in the field are kind of, I guess, debated or disagreed upon.
All
and
right.
This week, part two. So part two of our debates is going to focus on more of these issues, more of these things that in the paranormal field, in investigations, and just around are debated as far as procedures, as far as beliefs. And I think the first thing we're going to get to revolves around tech. And this is kind of a close to my heart because I'm the resident scientist of the group, the parapsychologist, and I love my gadgets.
Too much.
Late at night in the dark with night vision in Paris Hilton.
What?
I'm sorry.
I think the first topic we'll get to is here's the question: does using new tech make one a good scientist? I mean, we show up to investigations and people are, you know, say, hey, do you do this? Do you do this? Do they do this? You got the obvious, the K2. And we're like, nope. And people look at us funny. So that's gonna be our first topic of debate. And I see Chris shaking his head. So Chris, you're going to argue for no.
Okay.
Tech does not make you a good scientist. Jay, do you want to feel the having new technology does make you a good scientist?
Sure.
I'll start with Chris because I'm ready. He looks like he's ready to break off his leash here.
And I speak good. I know how to debatable.
Okay, Chris, 60 seconds starts now. Yay!
Well, as people know, technology it's good, but it's, you know, you're only as good as the technology you're using and vice versa. If you don't know how you're using the technology, what it does, is it really that useful? I mean, what's wrong with going old school? You know, what's wrong with just taking pictures or video or audio, like an ovulus. It's all it is, a paranormal speaking spell, you know. I don't necessarily think.
Wow.
I told you I speak good. I don't necessarily think that the newer equipment is any better than anything older. I don't think it makes you a better scientist, unless, like I said, unless you know how to use it properly. And really, who's an expert in this field? I know I'm not, and I don't think anybody in this room or anybody listening qualifies as an expert.
Okay, good points. That's definitely true. I agree with pretty much everything you've said. But to represent the other side of that, Jay, take it away.
Hey, well, I'll argue for the yes side. Now, well, you know what? I understand Chris's point, and I do agree with it. But what I'm saying is, as far as using like new tech and stuff, I think a good scientist uses all the tools at their disposal, anything that they have, anything, and it doesn't necessarily have to be tested because, you know, science isn't an exact science, you know what I mean? But a good scientist, you know, whatever it may be, trying to find a cure for something or whatever, or trying to create something new, all options have to be expended. You know what I mean? You have to try everything, whether it's it works perfectly or not, you know what I mean? And I think that all science, every answer with science starts off as a theory. So, you know what I mean? Like, all right, does anybody know how to use this equipment properly? Yeah, some of nothing is technically used for ghosts. There's nothing made for ghost hunting. So, I mean, you have to compromise and use what you can, and hopefully it'll work. So I think all science starts off as a theory. So I use all the tools at your disposal.
I think that's an excellent point. We classify ourselves as scientists. We classify ourselves as people who follow laws and rules. And, you know, a lot of times the schism between the psychic and the science is that, oh, hey, you know, we're too restricted by our own laws, by our own rules. Oh, you got to feel, you got to this and that. And it's like, you know, I think scientists are the biggest dreamers of all because, you know, like you said, science, the rules and the laws of science start out as theory. Someone has to imagine, hey, what if this? Or, you know, I think it works this way with no proof to back yourself up. And that's where experimentation comes in. That's where your theory gets formed, and it stays a theory until there's evidence to back it up. So I think scientists, you know, kind of have the most open mind, you know, open minds in the paranormal field.
You know what science is sort of like?
Potentially, anyway.
It's like religion without faith. Because in science, you have to prove your findings. In religion, you don't. Because
right.
you just base it off of, well, I can't answer this question, so it's because it's God's plan.
Well, that's very much hey, the world is flat. It is? Yep. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's what God said, or what you interpreted. Science, you have to prove it. You can't be one thing off if you have a cure for a disease and be like, hey, 99% of it worked. Like, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Well, you know, it'll cure you from AIDS, but then your toes will fall off. Like, it's not going to happen. You know, but I think that's the difference. And yes, they are dreamers. The same thing as the people who invented religion. And you know, I'm not saying it as an insult. I'm just, you know, it's just the theory. It's just the way it is. The separation between the science and, hey, the Catholic Church, they have their own scientists.
So let's go. Let's maybe get specific examples of this. I know people in the chat room are bringing up specific things. Like we mentioned the obvious. There's things like the K2 meter. There's things like the spirit box, a.k.a. the shack hack, the telephone to the dead.
It's a spirit box.
It's the telephone to the dead. You know, it's the AM.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Chris? Is that it?
What do I think about which one?
Any of them.
I have seen no proof that any of them actually work. I mean, I think as far as like the Radio Shack hacks go and stuff like that, when you listen, you know, and I've listened to a couple of these things, it's spinning through the station so fast back and forth that your ear is going to pick up certain sounds and your mind processes that in a certain way and interprets it as to what maybe you want to hear. You know, like we have five people sitting around the Radio Shack hack. And three of them might hear the same thing. I hear something totally different. You know, oh, it said this. I'm like, did it really? Yeah, I didn't hear that.
On the other side of that, though, I'm just playing devil's. I'm just flipping the other side.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what are you expecting to hear? Like a voice to be like, hey, this is a ghost on Hot 96.
I'm Billy Mays coming to you from the other side.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I agree with you on that. If I hear, doesn't mean it's a ghost.
A skeptic, I don't expect to hear anything. I mean, it's always a nice surprise if something presents itself. But, I mean, I have no expectations with any of this stuff. I don't expect it to work. I would like it to work, you know what I mean? But as far as expecting
a lot of the stuff we do has to do with believing. It's an open mind, and that's like a lot of psychics.
I do try to keep an open mind, even though you're a skeptic, you're closed mind.
But you say that right off the bat, so you're just giving off that energy right away that you're expecting it not to be real.
Well, put it this way: whether I believe in ghosts or not, if they exist, why shouldn't I be able to hear them if they're speaking? It's, you know what I mean?
Some people are just more susceptible than others because they open their mind. It's just like almost like taking drugs.
Maybe they're taking drugs.
Yeah, but this, you know what, dude? There's stuff, and you have to, you know this. You're an intelligent guy. There have been times when people take drugs where for some reason you can have 10 people in a room and everybody is on the same thing, and they hear stuff. Or they see things and it manages to be one. So there's some cosmic energy out there. It opens your mind. Maybe some people are able to open their mind without being like without doing drugs
without
or reading.
High.
Yeah. Or without being like a psychic historian. Like maybe people are actually able to just they walk around with an open mind.
So I mean, given the fact that you said, you know, you've said this before. People find what they expect to find. It's like you said, you know. Could it be that because you don't believe these things work, that you're almost causing them to not work for you?
I would say no. After doing this for 7 years, you know, when I started, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's totally possible. It's totally possible. And every investigation we've went on, everything I've experienced, it's kind of jaded me a little more and more. Like, yeah, there's really nothing out there.
Yeah, but the thing is, how could you say play this side. I'm sorry. You want
to? No, keep going.
No, go ahead.
I'm saying, how could you say that after what we saw at Phoenixville? I mean, we saw something that can't be explained, and it's definitely
just because I can't explain it at the moment doesn't mean there isn't a logical explanation for it.
But
I mean,
then
a paranormal explanation is the last explanation that I will go to when every other explanation is exhausted. and said, no, it's haven't not this,
we,
it's not this.
Well, what haven't we exhausted?
That's very much the Sherlock Holmes explanation of, you know, after you've eliminated everything that is not it, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. And actually, I think that's how we approach.
Yeah, but what other things haven't we exhausted when it came to that footage? It's like, it took 7 years.
You're talking about a specific example on one of our investigations.
Yeah, because it was one of the things that was actually the closest to finding something that was, let's say, unexplainable. That's not just like a car light or a trick of light or dust. Like, there's something on there.
We can always get back to that once actually on July 15th when the episode comes out, so that everybody can see what you're talking about.
Okay.
But I mean, in this case, we didn't have any of the aforementioned pieces of equipment with us. We didn't have the obvious. Didn't have the telephone to the dead. And I think to wrap this question up, it's just one of those things that whether you think it's an asset or you think it's a hindrance. Just having the equipment doesn't make you a good scientist just because you have it. Like, say you're a group that, you know, happens to be a little well off and you can afford these items, doesn't make you a better scientist. But, you know, I think I would say that you should not discount anything. Give it a try, see how it works. If it doesn't work once, keep trying, you know, do what you're comfortable with. And, you know, Chris isn't comfortable working with a lot of this tech because he doesn't feel it should or would work. So Chris does the methods that he finds work best for him. And same thing with me. I prefer to have some tech at my back because just my senses alone isn't picking anything up. It's not getting anything. So, I mean, if you have a chance to check out any of these objects, you know, there's groups or people that you know that have them, check it out. See how they work. Try it out for yourself. And submit reports, tell other people, and together we share knowledge that way.
And everything that I've said I've tried or witnessed, I'm not just saying it doesn't work and I've never seen it in action, you know what I mean? It's just as far as my experiences go, I don't feel these things work very well.
Well, what would constitute to you where you could sit there and look on film and go, and we play the footage back, we're all sitting there, and you go, oh my God, that is supernatural. Like what would constitute that where you could sit there and actually say to me, that thing's supernatural, there's no doubt. Like what type of evidence would it be?
You'd have to show me something first, and then I could be like, wow, yeah, that's
like if we were all sitting in this room right now, and that glass on the table lifts straight up in the air and smashes on the ceiling, that's definitely supernatural. No one in this room is Siegfried and Roy. So, I mean, if this thing right now just floated up in the air, broke all over the ceiling, you're going to... There's no explanation. That's got to be supernatural.
Yeah, well, that's something like...
That's like a complete poltergeist.
That's a hit over the head.
Right, but I'm saying... But it seems that it takes you...
It's gonna take something drastic for me to say yes.
Like you're walking and books start flying off the shelf.
It probably will. Not a little shadow out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, but maybe that's all it is.
That could be, you know... It could be attributed to a trick of the light, a peripheral vision. You know what I mean?
But just
it needs to be something more concrete.
Right. Well, just because it is that doesn't mean it's not. Now, I'm not saying jump at every little noise and everything, because most of the time it's your mind playing tricks.
I think a lot of people tend to do that, though.
Yeah, they do because they want to create drama. The thing is that I think maybe there may be things that we overlook because we so want to present the truth and disprove stuff. I mean, if we don't believe in psychics, then why do we even bother bringing them? If whatever they say, we're just going to be like, well, I want to believe her, but... Because that always seems to be what everybody ends up saying. You know what I mean? So why do we even bother bringing psychics along? You know what I mean? I'm just throwing the question out there, that's all.
Well, some people, you know, believe in psychics. They go to psychics every week. I have yet to meet one that has really, like, blown me away.
You're right.
Lisa Ann actually has impressed me... To an extent,
very impressive, yes.
Because things that she says, you know, is corroborated by, let's say, even Paul or the people who own the place or who live there wherever we go. When they're like, yeah, well, this, and this. I'm like, either those are some really good guesses or maybe, you know, at least it does have something.
But I mean, there's five things and Paul and Lisa Ann go in there and three of them out of the five are dead on, that's pretty damn good. For a guess, I mean, if it's one, if like, oh, there's the boy in the attic with the ball, and you're like, no, it's the old.
But there always is. There always is. There's always the angry man
in the attic. And
there's always there's always a kid who lost a ball.
There's always
or
a kid with
or...
a ball, and there's always an angry man in the attic. Dude, I'm the angry guy in the attic, and Paul lost his balls.
So I guess moving on to the next topic, since we're talking about angry men and addicts and kids who lost their balls, we're going to get to the next question after the break. So we'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial, folks. We'll be right back.
Psychic. Medium. Healer. Medical intuitive. Teacher. Author. And speaker. Where can you find all of these traits in one location? Go to www.spiritquesthealingcenter.com. The official site of Scared's very own Lisa Ann. Celebrating 10 years in business, Lisa Ann will be holding phone reading specials. Once again, go to www.spiritquesthealingcenter.com.
Have you been wondering what to get that special person in your life? Visit Mountain View Candleworks, your one-stop shop for candles, fountains, incense, specialty foods, and much, much more. Just visit www.mountainviewcandleworks.com. We make your candles with mountain care.
Are you ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes, and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
Hello, everybody. This is Mr. G from World Paranormal Society and from Haunt the Hunters and DarkTimesRadio.com. I would like to tell you about a website. It's called TreasureForAllUSA.com, where I got everything from knickknacks to complete DVR systems, a place where you can shop for everything and everything. And if we don't have it, I'll find it for you. That's, again, TreasureForAllUSA.com. Everything from DVR systems, TV sets, knickknacks, and gifts for loved ones. Come check it out, TreasureForAllUSA.com. You won't be disappointed.
The foulest stench is in the air. The funk of 40,000 years. And grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver. For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the Thriller.
You guys are expecting a laugh, but guess what? It just didn't come. We couldn't afford that. Welcome back, everybody. It is June 30th, 2009, and you're listening to Scared on the Airwaves. And this is our Debate 2 show. This is a continuation from last week. It's like Rocky 2. We got beat up last week, and we're back for more.
Or Piranha 2 The Spawning, which is my favorite sequel name ever. James Cameron's first movie.
That's right.
Piranha 2 The Spawning. Everything should be this.
Nice. Before we get back into the debates, I just wanted to remind everybody that September 24th to the 26th in Prescott, Arizona at the Hotel St. Michael, Past and Haunted Times Magazine are hosting HauntedCon.
HauntedCon!
HauntedCon, featuring Chip Coffee, Chris Moon, Scotty Roberts, Stacey Jones, and
the Scared Crew.
The Scared Crew.
Every time I hear the name Chip Coffee, I want ice cream. Like, it just sounds such a delicious name. Like, I wish I could just put that in a bowl with, like, cherries on it.
For more information on HauntedCon, please go to www.hauntedcon.com and check it out. It's pretty cool. It's built by our friend Scotty Roberts, and it's hosted by our friend at Haunted Times Magazine. And we're going to be there, so come check it out.
Join the Axis of Bacon.
Bacon. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Chris Moon does.
But getting back to the debates, we were kind of getting into it before about belief and open-mindedness and, you know, are you going to necessarily get what you're looking for? You know, if you expect to find something, you could find something. If you expect not to find something, you won't. That leads me to this next topic, superstition or procedure. When people go on an investigation, a lot of people have what some would call superstition and some would call procedure, you know, little rituals that they go through. They say if you're going to go into a dangerous location to avoid spirits following you home or to avoid any kind of negative energy attaching itself to you, you've got to envision yourself on white light. And all the psychics listening to the show are kind of nodding their heads and going, yeah, you got to do that. And other people think it's what are you doing? But at the same time, we're all running around in the dark looking for ghosts. So whether you believe it or not, you can't discount anything. I guess Chris is already shaking his head. The guy who never finds anything, and he's our lead investigator.
I guess I'm taking yes again.
You're going to have to take yes, because Chris is feeling strongly for the superstition angle. And so, you're going to argue procedure, that these little, you know, things, they're not hurting you, but people feel, hey, you've got to do it. So we're going to start with you, Jay. Why are these little rituals, why are these little superstitions, you know, people feel, hey, this, I have to do this. It's almost kind of like a Ouija board where, you know, some the older generation will be like, oh, I don't want that in my house. And they feel so strongly about it, based just on feeling, really. So take it away.
All right. Well, procedure, ritual, stuff like that. I mean, I can understand that. Whether it does anything, not magically, like I associate it because I go on stage a lot. I can understand little things. Procedure, beyond it being like a nervous tick or anything, procedure is it's just a way of putting out good energy. It's getting yourself psyched up. So I can understand when people do it. Look, if you eating green jelly beans, in your mind, it's like a placebo. If you think that bathing yourself in white light or setting yourself in that or, you know, whatever, saying the Lord's Prayer, if you feel that's going to protect you, I mean, there's no proof for me to tell you that it won't. But the thing is, if it makes you feel better and it's pushing, and I'm a very firm believer of energy, whether the ghosts are because there's a heaven and hell in religion or if ghosts are there because, look, energy, we know this is a scientific fact. Energy does not get destroyed. It just gets displaced. So if spirits is just energy that left the body and it's still floating around, that I completely believe in. When you call it a ghost or a ghoul or a specter or whatever you want to call it, that. But the thing is, you know, it's, I think it's a good mindset. It's like using the secret or positive thing. If it's going to get you going, yeah, it should work.
Okay.
I think it works.
So, all right. So, that, I mean, that's a good comparison, comparing it to music and what, you know, little rituals you go. I mean, in the theater, you know, break a leg.
Everyone gets in a huddle and like football game. Yeah. And everyone's like, they psych themselves up. Yeah.
And it's, same it's, thing. It's not to say that it doesn't do anything. So what's it hurting you?
It's putting
again,
out good energy.
But then again, I mean, it might hurt you because maybe you're relying on something that doesn't exist and you're going in with a false sense of hope. Take it away, Chris.
That's true. And these little rituals, you know what it's called, people? It's called OCD, okay? And it's the same people that do this that are ones who are talking to Archangel Michael and all that crap. So, yeah, ha.
Well,
I was talking, but go ahead. What? Interrupt me, go ahead.
No, I was...
Break my train of thought.
You looked at me. I thought you stopped. All right.
No, I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with saying a prayer from time to time. You know what? There's no atheists in foxholes. You know, I've done it myself. You know, oh, God, get me through this hangover, stuff like that. But you know what? It's not going to help you find a ghost. It's not going to keep you protected because you envision yourself in white light. Guess what? If there's a brick falling from the ceiling, it's still going to hit you in the head. All right? So why don't you be a little realistic about it?
Well, that's, I mean... That last example, I'm going to have to kind of for something physical, maybe, but for something you can't see, wouldn't something to combat it or protect yourself also be something you can't see? If we're looking for something that's intangible, wouldn't the, you know, like goes to like, if you're going to go into a basement that has asbestos in it, you're going to use a breathing mask, physical to physical. But if you're going to look for something that's intangible, that's a spirit, wouldn't it just be logical that that something that would protect you would also be intangible?
I was actually going to comment on something you said before, which actually defends what Chris says, is that, you know, if you say this prayer or this little thing on, and picture yourself there, and you depend on that to protect you from a brick falling on you, or the goose, the ghost, the goose.
Well, I just said the gooch. Was like, this different strokes? The gooch is going to get you?
You sitting, like, you know what? Like I said, if you, there's nothing wrong with putting out positive energy, but like if you think that doing that, that may make you let your guard down to say, let a poltergeist or something follow you home. And you know what? I watched the U.S. team the other day get in a huddle and pray, and they still lost. So what does that mean? You know that God likes Brazil more than the U.S.? You understand? Like, that's the point. It doesn't mean it's going to...
There's people who burn sage as a cleansing thing. You know what? The only thing you're cleansing the room of is people, because that stuff stinks, and I'll leave the room.
I think maybe to flip sides for a second, it's kind of one of those things that, yeah, it's intangible. So how do you even know it's working? You know, to say that... I threw some salt over my shoulder and I protected myself from this. Hey, nothing bad happened to me. But if I didn't throw the salt over my shoulder, nothing bad would have happened to me anyway. So I'm attributing it to that action.
Well, from what I've seen and my experiences, rituals that we do before an investigation are meant more to actually... We, yes.
Wow.
are actually meant more towards... to focus us so we're more prepared for what's ahead of us.
It's still a ritual.
So it's like an actor preparing to go on stage and doing his voice exercise just to loosen him up. The you need unique New York just to get everything ready.
How's it any different from like anyone warming up on the soccer field or the football field on the sidelines? You're getting your body ready. You're getting your mind ready.
You got to stretch or you hurt yourself.
Right. So what you're saying
it's been medically proven that meditation of any sort does help to lower blood pressure, and it's got various other medicinal purposes.
So what you're saying is psychics are actually rehearsing their spiel before they go into place.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. Tommy used to work on the...
It's going to be an evil look.
No.
I could have helped that one.
But you know what? If you clear your mind, you could focus on what you're doing. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean necessarily that it's going to protect you. But you know what? If you believe it, what's wrong with good stuff? If you believe it's going to make you better, then make it better. You know what I mean?
I'm just going
Since we're dealing with something intangible anyway, anything that can help, what makes you think that it won't help?
Well, what about the old Italian ladies you see and they give people the devil horns? You know what I mean? Like, come on. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but these people have been doing this for, like, you know what? You look, say, like the sage burning. A lot of people have been doing this for thousands of years. You know what?
Yeah, and it doesn't stink any
but
less.
But you know what? Some people, it works. I mean, why would people do it? They're like, oh, you know, they eat shark fins and they say it's an aphrodisiac to help with the yang. But the thing about that is, though, basically what they've proven is you're just killing poor sharks and do. But you know what?
It's all up in your
head. But if people are using it for thousands of years and millions of people believe this, it's got to work at some point. Maybe, and like I said, it could be just a placebo effect. Chocolate is an aphrodisiac. I know, you know what? Some people say it's not. I eat chocolate, I go cuckoo. There's certain things you eat that make...
mass self-delusion.
So basically,
you're saying I'm an idiot. Yes.
So does thinking something is so create reality? Because, I mean, pretty much everything that is our perspective of it. If we all believe it so, when does that placebo cross the line into being an actual fact? So, hey... Every psychic on the planet believes something, and you know, you get those email trains that go around that said, oh, today is Spiritual Awareness Day, and at 3 p.m., if everyone thinks positively, there's going to be a mass shift in the planet, and it's going to be great, and we're going to get ushered into this pillar of light, and everything's going to be great. And it's like, all right, yeah, 3 o'clock, I'm stuck doing an edit, and somebody needs an MPEG that gets sent to a client, and it's like, yeah, I'm not thinking positively, so...
And this goes
worked
in...
for Doctor Who, didn't it?
This is going into two things that I wanted to talk about since the first episode, with you're talking about that whole mess, everybody feeling good together. There's the thing, like I told you, there's the thing what Dr. Emoto came up with about the crystals in the water and the life force to give off. And the other thing was that the book and the movie The Secret. Whether you believe it or not, like I said, there's things they, like there was one thing where what he does is, if you don't know what Dr. Emoto does, real fast, they take crystals, they freeze water, and the crystals will be beautiful. And if there's the water's polluted, the crystals are formed, all deformed. There was one experiment they did. It took place in Washington, D.C. They got thousands of monks from all over the world, and they tested the water near the Washington Monument, and they froze it, and the crystals were all deformed. And after these monks doing this for hours, they tested the water again, and the crystals formed beautiful crystals because it was good energy given out. And it's energy. It's not any magic. It's not voodoo or any type
voodoo,
of thing.
Voodoo.
It's not some hoodoo, voodoo, mumbo, bumbo in a Congo. It's just good energy.
All right, so let's take this and springboard to the next question, since we're kind of leading in that direction anyway. Spirituality versus religion. They're two words. They don't mean the same thing. A lot of times they get lumped into the same boat. You're on an investigation and you're a spiritual person. That doesn't mean you're carrying a Bible around. Doesn't mean you're a Wiccan. It doesn't specifically say anything, but it implies, yes, you believe in something higher than yourself. You're open to things that are unseen, whereas religion is a lot more rigid.
It's more focused
because
on...
Because there's structure. So... Let's talk about that for a little bit. Spirituality versus religion. I think they both have their pros and cons. So who wants to fly? Who wants to pick up the banner for religion?
Just if we argue this, I think we should stay away from the fact that religion, like organized religion.
No, but, I mean, we're not talking about which we're not saying religion is good or bad. We're saying, hey, on an investigation, does being a member of, you know, me being Catholic or me being Muslim, being whatever I may be.
Right.
Is that a strength? Does that add to the investigation?
Okay, we used to have a very religious guy on our team. Yeah. Sean was a Muslim, and he was very, and he was one of the toughest dudes I ever knew. But he would get freaked out because he saw it as the devil and God thing. You know?
Well, that's what we'll get into. I mean, does religion get in the way because of that? So, I mean, we're just talking. We're gonna keep it specifically to investigations and as a tool. Does spirituality and or religion have its place, and why, or should it be like government? You know, keep church and state separate. You want to speak to that? Who wants to step up?
Jay said he wants to take yes. Well, I'm stuck with no on that one.
No,
even though,
I'm not saying. What's the question? Does it have a place?
I'm saying, does spirituality and or religion? I mean, you can take whichever one you feel strongly about. Does it have its place in an investigation, in a paranormal investigation?
I'll tell you how it fits. The reason is, I think, especially with anybody on this planet, whether, you know, be civilized or like a modernized country, we are embedded with this, right in this country, with Judeo-Christian ethic. A lot of our laws are based around that. So our train of thinking will go around that stuff. And it's sort of hard to take yourself out of that. And, you know, when you see a ghost, the first thing you think of is, why isn't this ghost in heaven? Why isn't this ghost in hell? Is this purgatory? This is the reason why this ghost is walking around this abandoned place, because it's in torment, because it had a job to finish and it didn't do it, or something traumatized, you know. So the religions, that's what you picture. You know what I mean? The other side, like I was talking about, this placement of energy and stuff, that's more along the spiritual side of it.
But so, I mean, get to how it fits into the investigation. You're saying it's ingrained in there.
Well, the way religion fits in there, I think that we're trying to find out, say we do find something like that, you're trying to find out first to find the thing, and why isn't it in this place within the structured religion? Why is it in hell? Why isn't it in heaven? And is this purgatory? That's what I think
since Chris really doesn't feel one way or another about this, I'm going to take up the banner for it, for the opposite thought. I think while spirituality, I think, see, now that's the thing. This is where it comes down to semantics. I think spirituality is good. I think it's a good thing to have with you, even if you don't live your life by any kind of code, any specific code, i.e. religion. It's good to be spiritual on this type of adventure. But I think sometimes religion does get in the way in the fact that because it is rigid, or because, like you say, people do expect things, why isn't spirit in hell? And that leads into some hubris, and it leads into, if the spirit is in between, it's not in heaven, it's not in hell, I'm going to help it, i.e. spirit rescue. And I'm a firm believer in, you know what, who appointed you? God. If there's something, if there is something, you know, we're more observers. We're looking to find it. We're looking to catalog it, not meddle, not interfere. It's like, look, yeah, if a ghost is here and it's stuck in this room, it's not necessarily my business to say, I'm going to help go to the light. Because guess what? I haven't even gotten there yet. I don't even know if the light is the way to go. Thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people have had near-death experiences and given the, I went to the light, it felt good. So, you know, we have some vision of what might be coming, but I myself can't go on that.
And who the hell are we actually to play God and be arrogant enough to think that if this ghost is here, it's not supposed to be here?
I can help you. I'll help you get to the light.
I can understand. It's like almost like you want to help a lost child, but you're dealing with something that is so far. This isn't a child is hurt. You help it and bring it to the hospital. Or you try to find its mother. This is so beyond anything.
I mean, I think it's one of those things where, like, yes, your heart's in the right place, wanting to help. Hey, I have no. I'm not saying that you shouldn't help when you can, but guess what? Help some people. Help the bum down, the homeless guy down the street. Go help.
Help an old lady carry some groceries.
Help, you know, go pitch in at an animal shelter. Do something that helps us here, because, you know, if you're that lofty, you can certainly put in some time on this plane.
I'd like to actually add something about religion in paranormal investigating, because as people know, we had Sean, who was a Muslim, and obviously a different faith than everyone else in the group, but it added some culture, and it let us, I think, see things from a different perspective. And who's to say that all the ghosts or spirits that we encounter, they all speak English? Maybe they do speak, you know, Arabic or whatever, and he's trying to communicate with them in that language.
And he never pushed that down our throat.
No, he never did.
Nope.
And he would be, you know what, at sunset, the guy breaks out a little carpet, and he prays. You know, he faces east and he prays, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, what I was going to say about the difference between spirituality and religion, I feel like religion is, if you're a really staunch believer in religion, it's a hindrance to a paranormal investigation. And the reason I'm going to say that is because you have to have an open mind when you do these things, because you don't know what's going to happen. And if you go into an investigation thinking this is heaven, this is hell, there's angels, there's this, there's that, you might miss something. And I feel like if you go in with a sense of spirituality or even nothing, that you might pick up more, because your brain is not automatically assuming something is going
to
happen.
Right. So go in and expect, don't expect like the ghost to, you know, have hands and legs and, you know, and go, shh.
Not,
you know what I mean?
Not like, to mention, I mean, if what you do find doesn't immediately fit into the categories that your religion has set out for you, that might cause confusion, and that leads to fear. Fear leads to, sounds like a Yoda speech, but I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, it's the worst things in life often seem to come out of fear, out of an irrational, you know, hey, I don't know what's going on. You're afraid of the dark. You know, it's natural, but that's why I take the stand that I do, that sometimes religion doesn't have a place. Spirituality, yes. Religion, I would leave it at the door.
Well, it also depends on certain cases which, you know, involve possession, let's say. Well, obviously, the only real religion that practices that, you know, Catholicism, you know, they practice exorcisms and stuff like that. So I guess it's also kind of dependent on
that.
So are you
saying there can't be a Muslim possession?
Sure, there can be, but are there Muslim exorcists? They probably just chop your head off or something.
Oh, wow. That's great.
I mean, seriously,
oh, that's
though.
So probably true.
I mean, that's, yeah, we're getting more into religion than I wanted to, but I mean, that raises a good question. It's like, yeah, you think the exorcist, you think call the Catholic priest. It's like, well, is that the only answer?
Here's another thing about religion. I do think, honestly, that there is a place, because it would be great to have someone there that was religious, but the problem is that they are one-sided, because they do believe in heaven, and they do believe in hell, and they do believe in spirits and ghosts and higher beings. So you're going in there with someone that's saying, yes, there definitely are these things.
They're also not open to being wrong.
Right.
Not open to being wrong. I mean, it's like...
you believe, or
we're men, we're fallible. That's bottom line. We are fallible.
And well, religious or not, there's a lot of people who don't, you know, aren't open to being wrong.
Yeah.
Religion or not.
But it's like, you know what? I'll sit there and go, listen, you could be right, I could be wrong. You believe what you want, and you could believe what you want, and that's no problem with that. But a lot of religious people tend to believe, if you don't go my way, then you are wrong.
I'm wrong five times a day. I thought Greg was showing up tonight, and I was wrong about that.
Should have known better after all this time.
I should have bet you $50.
But, yeah, let's backpedal from this for a little bit before we start a holy war in the chat room.
Mamam Shibai, Mamam Shibai, Mola Ram, Sudaram, Kali Ma Kusik will rule the world.
Forever. I think that's almost a topic for its own show, because I mean there's a lot that could be said of it, and maybe maybe we'll have a guest in on that, someone neutral to speak about that. But my next question is,
we have another question.
Is the word "the" allowed in an anagram?
No, stop. No, it's no. Not, it's not TUSOA. It's USA. Damn it.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously, I mean, is "the" allowed in an anagram?
No, it's not. Don't make me say it again. I'm going to punch Jay now.
See what you guys did? You made Chris hit Jay. Thanks. now he's not going to be able to perform on his next album. He's not going to be able to go on tour.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Just do it again, just like you did it.
Oh, you like it.
I didn't curse.
You like that, don't you, bitch?
Oh, no. I think a new religion just started here right now. Just porcinoism.
Relax, gang.
The religion of pain.
Of loneliness. Of pretending he's cool and really just is not.
Well, like we said before, you believe it, it exists.
Dude, I've projected stuff by minorly using The Secret, and you get what you put into it. And when I've used it, it worked. It's like, well, you're going to imagine $1 million is going to show up. It's like, no. But you know what? If you think about it, and I'm telling you right now, famous people, rich people, people that run this country, giant politicians, they do not think the same way we do. There is no, you're not the president of a country, and your train of thought is the same as a garbage man. No offense to garbage men. What I'm saying is, it doesn't work like that. That's the point I'm bringing up with people that are more open. Their brains are working on not a better level, they're on a different level.
Well, guess what? When you got $1 million, it's easier not to worry about stuff and to think positively all the time. Because you got $1 million, you ain't got to go to work, you ain't got to do this, you ain't got to do that.
That's my point. Your brain is on a different level that you can't, but we can't begin to understand it until you get to that level. It's like you will never understand what it's like to do it with three girls until you're like me and you do it.
Do what?
Dirty stuff. I don't want to be too dirty, but that's my point. It's like you don't know what it feels like to put Marilyn Manson on. You can only listen at the door with a cone.
Like, there is absolutely nothing wrong with thinking positive. I mean, just don't base your life on it. You know what I mean? I think positive. Every day I try to think positive thoughts.
And if you think too positive, you look like a freak. Happy, joy thoughts. You're really killing me, bro.
Yeah, I'd prefer to be a realist because, you know, like, not everything is sunshine and rainbows. But, you know, I definitely think it's good to think positive, but I also think it's good to keep your eye on the storm cloud on the horizon because it's coming whether you think positive about it or not.
And that's just as beautiful as a clear sky sometimes, man. Wow, that was too deep. That sounded stupid.
And Jay is actually going to start his job at Hallmark next week.
It's like sometimes the rain cloud puts water on you, and sometimes you stay home and you call it sick from work because you want to watch a soccer game and you're drunk and you hate your life.
Every cloud has a silver lining, so line your pockets with silver.
Yeah, yeah, when the hurricane washes my house down away, say, hey, I wanted to move anyway, thanks.
Thanks. When life give
I was
you,
getting sick of my house anyway.
When life gives you lemons, you throw them in the garbage and go buy soda.
Because it's carbonated, and I like bubbles because they're fizzy.
Because I don't like
they tickle
that.
My nose. They tickle, and I like being tickled.
When life hands you lemons, don't do nothing.
When life hands you lemons, that's it.
That's it.
You get nothing.
You're screwed.
When my life hands you lemons, go, I didn't ask for this. I wanted a bucket full of money. But why are you giving me lemons? I can't sell this. I'll make $8.
And then sue them.
Happy birthday, Stowe. Your best friend, Jason. XXX. Call me later.
All you gotta say is, you know, like, thank you for preventing the scurvy. You know what I mean?
Life hands you lemons, prevents scurvy. Good, Paul.
Nice. And I guess on that note, whew, I'm glad we don't have scurvy. But what we do have is a DVD selling pretty well on Amazon.com.
Yes, we do. Philadelphia State Hospital.
Philadelphia State Hospital. If you go onto Amazon.com and search Scared Philadelphia State Hospital, just put in Scared Philadelphia, you'll see our modest little DVD pop up. You can get it there, or you can go and check out all our DVDs at www.scaredonline.com, where you can watch episodes, check out trailers, read reports, and just see what we're up to.
And be sure to like leave some comments on our stuff, man, you know. If you're going to watch it, at least take 2 seconds, leave a comment. It sucks, it's good. We'd like to hear from you.
I think we should do an episode on Greg's empty chair over here. We'd be like, is there a ghost there? Is he here in spirit, or is he just not here? Oh, is this creaking? I heard creaking.
Okay, so hopefully we'll be back next week with more entertainment. Hopefully Greg will be here too, and see you guys next Tuesday.
Goodbye.
Listening to the best in talk radio on Dark Plains Radio on darkplainsradio.com. The best of all worlds, including paranormal, politics, sports, or anything of interest around the world. Listen into Between Two Worlds Radio with Derek White, Sky Cloud, a talk show interviewing a variety of paranormal friends and strange events. Psychic medium and paranormal investigator Derek White Sky Cloud will be doing his mediumship messages on darkplainsradio.com. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. It's a howling great time. That's Dark Plains Radio on darkplainsradio.com. The best of all worlds in talk radio.